The word of God for the message this morning from the book of Romans, read just a few moments ago, and I'll read, and you can read along with me. I am a man of flesh, sold under sin, and I don't understand myself. I do not do what I want. Instead, I do the very thing I hate. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. There is nothing good living in me because of my flesh. I have the desire to do what is right, but I don't have the ability to carry it out. Sin lives within me. Even when I want to do what is right, evil lies close at hand. My delight is in God, but my sinful nature wages war against my mind, making me captive to sin. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's called the patellar reflex. How many of you have experienced this in your life? In fact, I don't know, do they do this as often as they used to? Yeah. So you've all had this done to you, right? Interesting. Actually, a good thing, because it's going to help me to better help you understand yourself. What happens when they hit the right spot? A knee-jerk. Thus, the idiom, a knee-jerk response. Right? Now, by the way, how many of you, and you can raise your hands on this, how many of you have gone home and grabbed a ball-peen hammer and tried to find that spot yourself? Come on, be honest. Okay, me too. Actually, you could take the heavy side of a butter knife and tap. I'm giving you all kinds of ideas, but don't give the children ideas, okay? I mean, for me, I got to do this stuff. So I go home, gee, the doctor did this. I wonder if I can find it. And then you finally find it, and your knee jerks, and you, what's the next thing you do? You try to control it. Okay. And you can't. You hit it again just right. You can't control it. And that's the worst possible thing, is to have a knee-jerk response to something, and you have no control. Thus, Paul would write, I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do. And what I don't want to do, this is what I do. Did you realize what's in the background? A speeding locomotive, a train out of control. Ever feel that way? Like your life's going to be a train wreck? Something's going on, things happen, you got a knee-jerk response to it, you can't stop it, and it seems like there's a wreck after a wreck after a wreck. What is it that's on your mind this morning, and you can't get it off your mind? What is it that's bugging you, that keeps bugging you? Whatever it is, you should know it could lead to a knee-jerk response, and it probably will and has. What is it that you don't want to do, but you keep on doing, and even though you don't want to do it anymore, there's a lack of control there? The worst one for me is to walk into a room where somebody really needs me, and the TV is on. It has this magnetic control over me, especially if it's sports. Can't control it. The other thing is ice cream in the fridge. Forget it. Perhaps it's something that you say, and you would like not to speak that way anymore. But it just seems natural. It comes out of your mouth as almost a knee-jerk response to situations around you. And you know it's not healthy. You know it's not proper. You know it's not really helping anybody. You'd like to not do it anymore, but you keep opening your big mouth. What's the thing causing that knee-jerk response? Retaliation. You want to get back at somebody for something they did. I call that the Moby Dick syndrome. You know Ahab? The whale hurt him, and he's going to get that whale. The whale finally takes him down. There's another one. It's the overloaded list. The too many things to do at one time. Stress causes a knee-jerk response in people's life. And you never know what it's going to be. And I don't know what it is for you, but it's out there. Love gone bad. A marriage on the rocks. A knee-jerk response to the fact that you want to be loved, but you don't feel loved. A sickness. Sickness has this knee-jerk response to it too. Oh no, all things are out of control. I'm not going to be the same person, even death. But the worst is an unforgiven sin. You did something, somebody did something to you. The sin is just like a tornado, and it's working itself in and around your life. No matter what it is, it always causes a response. And the response often is very scary. This was on somebody's car. It's a bumper sticker. We're all going to hell and I'm driving the bus. That's what it feels like. But I know you're all pretty decent people. And most of you are even lovable. And you want to be that way. You want to be lovable, decent people. And you try really hard to do the right thing at the right time and feel good about yourself. To this, Paul says, I belong to sin. I don't understand my own actions. I don't do what I want. Instead, I do the very thing I hate. That's my dog, Fudge. Fudge is actually a pretty good dog. He's the best dog I think I've ever had. But he's got some pretty bad things he does sometimes. And he just can't seem to control himself. Like the chipmunk that keeps running through the flowers. Fudge runs through Lori's flowers. Every morning I wake up to, get out of there, Fudge. He likes to drink out of mud puddles. He's got fresh water inside. What's the big deal with the mud puddle? And then he wants to beg for the food that we have on the table. And sometimes we just can't control that. And then you know what he ends up doing? He drools. And if you're in your bare feet and you step in it, it's slippery. Sometimes he gets in the garbage, he'll take a bath and he'll roll around in the dirt. You know what? Dogs do doggy things, don't they? Even if it's not healthy or good for them, they do doggy things. You try to train them, you work on them. Sometimes it takes an entire lifetime to get them through all of that. Sinners sin because they are sinners. I'll say it again. Sinners sin because they are sinners. We're all fighting that battle. And you will fight that battle, that good fight, until the Lord calls you home. Paul writes, what I do is not the good I want to do. No, instead, I do the evil I don't want to do. And to this, I say, you got to be kidding me, Paul. You're my idol. just below Jesus. I respect him. I look at the New Testament and I see all the books that Paul wrote and how he had his theology so ordered, even though he didn't live his life and wasn't taught directly by Jesus when the disciples were. Somehow or another, this guy became the model of the Christian faith. And the way he put things together and the way he presented himself, magnificent. Yet look at what he says. I don't do the good I want to do. Instead, I do the evil. You too, Paul? You too? I wonder what it was that Paul got caught up in and couldn't stop doing. Sin. I'm glad Paul didn't enumerate what it was. But I would imagine he's no different than all of us. Sin in his life kept causing him to do what it was that he didn't want to do. And then to this I say, I think that's good news. This Holy Spirit, you can tell here, is at work. Paul wouldn't have wrote these things if the Holy Spirit wasn't working. You really should be afraid if you don't care about your actions anymore, what you say or what you do or who you hurt or whether or not you're going to heaven. That's a scary situation to be in. You could tell Paul here has the Holy Spirit at work inside him because he cares. And it shows, too, that he's still in the battle, isn't he? He's still fighting the fight. So, friends, if you identify with any of this, and especially with Paul, here's good news. God has sent his Holy Spirit. You are still in the battle. Jesus still loves you. And always, always will. The Holy Spirit calls out, and obviously it's true, the flesh is weak. And when the flesh is weak, there's always a knee-jerk response to the things that are going on in our life. We try to respond to life's issues with faith in God's love. Oftentimes, it's so true, though, we have a default. It's sin. And so we try to save ourselves and work ourselves out of it. And we forget that God wants us to turn to Him and respond in faith. Just after the Titanic struck an iceberg and began sinking into the abyss, a first mate was found polishing the brass of a famous staircase. One of the passengers hurried by and asked, "What are you doing? Don't you know the ship's sinking? We're all about to die." To which the first mate replied, "No one trained me for a sinking ship. I can't help you with that. All I know how to do is polish brass." The ship's a-sinking, yet we keep on doing and doing and doing, and we never get it right. It's insanity. Doing the same thing over and over and over again, hoping for a different response. A response we never get. The only option is to turn to God and His grace and His love in Christ Jesus. I saw this poor guy on TV. His house was burning down in California. And you could see him in the background with a pail of water. And he's going to run over to the house and he's going to try to throw this out. The house is practically burned to the ground by now. And I'm thinking about this poor guy this morning. I'm thinking, you know, I wouldn't have messed with that pail of water. I would have called my insurance agent, see if I have fire damage. Wouldn't that have helped more? If I do what I don't want to do, it is no longer I who do it. It is sin living in me. Can you imagine that? Sin living in me. You know what Paul said? Because of that, I live in a body of death. The fleshly body that we have that responds in a sinful way to all the issues of life is lost to death. Who will rescue you? Paul, like a doxology, like a great blessing that calls down from above, says, "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." He sums it up. He gives us the answer to the response we all need to hear today. I like what Matthew had to say. "Come to me, all who are labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn from me. I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." What Jesus was talking about is really quite simple. The yoke of a rabbi, a teacher, was what he taught. If you followed after him and learned what he taught, you were said to have been yoked to him by that teaching. What was it that Jesus taught? God loves you and me. We can't save ourselves from our sin. God gave Jesus Christ on the cross to die for our sin and to take away that sin which causes eternal death for all of us. And because of that, those of us who put our faith in what he does and not on what we do, find rest for our souls and eternal life in heaven. Yoked to that, we find our rest. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that amazing? Isn't that good news to know that whatever it is that's creating the knee-jerk response to the things in our life, there's an answer. We can go to Christ. You take it to him in prayer. We can go to him and confess it. And forgiveness. You see, that's really where it's at. Forgiveness. Forgiveness is what makes the difference. Once we're forgiven and we know that God loves us and has forgiven us, we can begin to forgive ourselves. Forgiving ourselves for the things in life that we keep on doing to try to take care of things for ourselves, once we forgive ourselves of those, we find some rest. And finding that rest leads to joy, a joy that cannot be measured because it lives on throughout eternity. A man in China was walking on a muddy road. He lost his footing, fell into a ditch, kept sinking deeper and deeper into the mire as he struggled to get out. Buddha came along and said, "My, what a mess you're in. Here is a list of 10 ways to get out of that muddy ditch. Meditate on it, and you'll be made free." That didn't do anything to help the sinking guy as he tried, and he moved, and he moved, and he struggled and struggled. He just got deeper and deeper and deeper into the ditch. Then Confucius came along and looked at him. "You are in a terrible situation, my friend, but I have good news for you. Take 5 steps towards me, I'll take 5 steps towards you, and together we'll walk out of that ditch." And the man said, "I can't take 5 steps. The more I struggle, the deeper I get." And then our Lord came along dressed in royal garb with a crown. He took it all off. He got into the ditch with the sinking man, lifted him up, put him on solid ground. Even though we know the ditch would claim him, that which he knew himself. We have a champion in life. He has defeated sin, death, and the devil. He now reigns over us for our sake, that we would be free, free from sin's tyranny, and have a better understanding of these words. And if the Son makes you free, truly, you are free indeed. Amen.